There is nothing I like more than first thing in the morning when I'm in Spain to get out of the cot, hot big mug of coffee, out onto the terrace, and a Sudoku or a crossword or my book, but preferably one of the crosswords. The Puzzler is the name of a book written by A.J. Jacobs. One man's quest to solve the most baffling puzzles ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. Now I'm interested. AJ, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Not at all. Delighted to. It's probably good morning where you are, is it?
It is. It's 10:35 a.m.
Ah, that's it. Where are you?
I'm in New York City.
Cool. Excellent. New York City. It's been a while since I was there.
Come on back.
Come on back. We're wide open again. What made you decide to look at all these puzzles and try and sort them all out?
I have been a puzzle lover since a kid, and I used to do all the crosswords. I used to make these huge pencil mazes on my living room floor that took up the whole living room. And I realized it informed my worldview. I see the world as a series of puzzles. In my previous books, I wrote a book called The Year of Living Biblically, and I realized that's kind of me trying to solve the puzzle of religion. So I thought, this time, I'm just going to stop beating around the bush. I'm going to go right into my love of puzzles, try to solve them all different genres, see what they can teach me, see why millions of people like me are obsessed, and can they make my life better? Can they make me a better thinker and a better person? And the answer is yes, not to spoil it.
That was my next question. Do you want to just do the interview?
Yeah, take a break. Go have your coffee.
I'll go have another coffee, do a crossword. What's your favorite puzzle?
Oh, well, that is a tough one because, I mean, my first love is crossword puzzles. Ooh. That is, I'm a word nerd from long back. And actually, the highlight of my life was when I did appear as a clue in the New York Times crossword puzzle. The answer was me. It was a Saturday puzzle, which is the hardest puzzle, and all of the answers are totally obscure. So my brother-in-law pointed out, maybe not a compliment, but I still take it as a compliment. But for this, I'm not monogamous. I'm promiscuous. I went for this book to about 20 different genres of puzzles. Like you mentioned, Sudoku. I interviewed Garry Kasparov about chess puzzles. I competed in the World Jigsaw Puzzle Championship. Japanese puzzle boxes, which I knew nothing about, but which are an amazing, crazy cult where people pay $50,000 for one wooden box that's a puzzle. So, yeah, it was a wild experience to immerse myself in all these subcultures.
So who's the book for? Is it for puzzlers or is it for people who are puzzled about puzzlers?
There you go. I like that. Mm. Thanks. I'm going to steal that. Well, I say in the introduction, it is for puzzle lovers, puzzle likers, and the puzzle phobes, puzzle skeptics, because I do believe that there is a puzzle type for everyone. And I also believe one of the big theses of the book is that life is a puzzle and that we can use these strategies that you learn from puzzles to help solve life's bigger problems. So everyone struggles with puzzles, even if you're not a crossword devotee.
Okay. My next question for you, you've actually come on to where I wanted to go with this, but let's go back. What I wanted to ask you about was, is there a formula? Is there a method that you discovered that you can apply to all jigsaws? Is there a method you can apply to all crosswords? Is there a method you can apply, or is it just what works for one?
Right. Well, the big overarching idea in puzzles is to be flexible in your thinking, to be cognitive, to be always trying new things and experimenting, which I think is a great way to go through life. But within the genres, yeah, there's all sorts of strategies that you have to try and use. And I was actually my least favorite before this book. My least favorite genre was jigsaws. I was snobby. I thought that, oh, they're just, you know, they're too easy. I was totally wrong. I'm an idiot. I apologize to jigsaw people. They can be so subtle and wonderful. And even when they're not, they're like a meditative joy. But they also have strategies I never thought of. The real top level puzzlers will, if you're hit with a sky and you're freaked out, organize it not by color, but by shape. So they'll have a pile of three Audis and one innie, a pile of two Audis and two innies. And that way they're able to build it quickly. So there are all these surprising strategies that I learned from all the subcultures.
Does strategy take away from the fun of it, though?
I don't think so. I think it makes it more fun because you're always discovering new strategies. I mean, I will say the Rubik's Cube is, you know, I like it. I don't love it. But I have a whole chapter on it because it's a fascinating subculture with these people who do it in 3.4 seconds or with their feet. I met the champion of foot solving. He can do it with his feet. The old Rubik's Cubers, the original people say,
my age,
these kids, yeah, I'm in my age. They say these kids just memorize the algorithms and they're not really solving it. So they argue the true joy is you just have no idea. There's no YouTube tutorials. So there's a debate within the puzzle community.
I like to think that I'm relatively patient. I like to think that I am, that I like a challenge. I like to think that I like to solve things. But that Rubik's Cube, I have never, ever, ever done it.
No? Well, there are ways.
No.
Why don't you, there's a hammer, there's the hammer way. There's the sort of the Gordian knot. Just smash it and then put it back together. That is one way.
No. I thought about removing stickers, but
that's another way from the
whole thing. All right.
I didn't solve it as a kid either, and I am 50. So it took me 52 years because I solved it as research for this book.
Okay.
And just so you know, that the book includes my tips on how to solve puzzles, but it's history of puzzles, the crazy history of puzzles. It's adventures like going to the jigsaw puzzle tournament. And of course, it's puzzles. There's hundreds of historical and original puzzles and a contest and a $10,000 contest, which I'm happy to talk about. Oh, I just realized.
Go on.
It's only, you have to be a U.S. citizen to win the $10,000, but you can play. The contest is fun. It's its own reward. You don't need that $10,000.
No, not at all. You do not. How did researching and writing this book on puzzles make you a better person?
Well, I think there are so many ways that puzzles improve our lives. I mentioned one is flexible thinking. I mean, you look around now and it is everyone is in their rut and they are, victims of the confirmation bias. So puzzles, to solve a good puzzle, you have to let go of your biases and explore. You have to think outside the box, which is a cliche that came from puzzles. But the original outside the box was this 9x9 puzzle with dots, and you had to connect the dots with four straight lines without lifting your pencil, and you have to go outside the box. So thinking outside the box. I also think it just encourages what I call the puzzler mindset, which is all about curiosity. And I think curiosity is one of the greatest human emotions, drives, whatever you want to call it. And we need more of it. There's a phrase in the puzzle community, don't get furious, get curious. And I love that. I apply it to life. If I'm having an argument with someone from the other side of the political spectrum, don't get angry. Don't see it as a war of words. I look at it as a puzzle. Why do we disagree? Why do we believe what we believe? Can we solve this? Can we change each other's minds somehow? What evidence is there? And then it becomes an adventure, a cooperative adventure, instead of this anger-inducing fight.
What's the wackiest puzzle that you took on?
Oh, well, there are so many wacky ones. I will say, I am very proud because I helped create one of the wackiest puzzles ever. It is probably, I'm not boasting, just stating facts, the hardest puzzle ever created by human beings. It is because I teamed up with a Dutch designer and we decided to break the record for the longest the puzzle that would take the longest to solve. And it is a mechanical puzzle. It's wooden and you have to turn 55 pegs in a certain order in order to get out the rod in the middle. Now, the trick is to turn, you have to turn those pegs a lot of times, not hundreds, not millions, 1.3 decillion times. That, so if you do it one per second, the universe will die before you finish.
That's
so
not even a number. That's not even a number.
It is not a number. It's so hard. It's 33 digits, one and 33 digits. Yeah, makes no sense.
Have you done it?
Well, come. Why don't you let's speak in 1.3 decillion years, and we'll.
It's incredible.
I'll let you know, an update.
But how do you know it can be solved?
Well, that's true. I mean, he has designed it to be solved. I mean, he didn't make prototypes that you could solve in like, you know, an hour. But we just wanted to show a couple of things. I love the idea. It's called a generational puzzle. So you hand it down from to your kids and their kids and their kids. So it's like an heirloom. It also reminds me of the awesome hugeness of the universe and the world. I just, like you say, these numbers are unimaginable. But this kind of helps me imagine it. I have it right here and I'm looking at, you can see it in the background, actually. That thing right there.
Jeepers. Supposing great-granddad makes a mistake, it ruins it for generations, doesn't it?
It's a lot of pressure. You know, you can fix the mistakes. You can fix it.
That's class. Now, you also said that in this book, you were trying, if you could, to solve the puzzle of our very existence. But before we go there, there's another one that might be more difficult to solve that you might have come across. Women.
Well, I think women, men, humans in general are a puzzle. And in fact, one of the greatest puzzles in the world is my mind. Hmm. Why do I focus on the three or four things that go wrong every day instead of the hundreds that go right? Hmm. That's a puzzle. So a lot of it is applying these techniques of curiosity to yourself, to my wife, who was very patient with this project, by the way. And she came to with me and played on Team USA.
Brilliant.
Which is in Spain. I forgot you were based in Spain. It's Valladolid. Is that how you say it?
No idea.
Sorry for the pronunciation. It's a beautiful city in Spain. And that is the home to the World Jigsaw Puzzle Tournament. And there were 40 countries. My wife and I were Team USA. We humiliated our country. We came in second to last. The Russian, four women from Siberia won. And they were extraordinary. But anyway, the point was, this actually brought my wife and I closer, because one of the great things about doing puzzles is that it forges a community. And you fight like who's going to put the last piece in or who's going to fill in the crossword. But most of the time, it's a collaborative experience. And I was very proud of her. The puzzle tournament lasted 8 hours. And there were four puzzles, huge puzzles you had to do in 8 hours. She did not go to the bathroom once in that 8 hours. And it was a record for our marriage.
I'm sure she'll appreciate you talking about her bathroom habits on live
she
radio.
She boasts about it. No, she's super proud.
Really?
It's her proudest moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Is there, I actually have a lot of questions in my head that I want to get to that you've kind of touched on different things. Firstly, let's go with this without joking. Puzzle of our very existence.
Yes.
Where did you get with that? How far did you get with it?
Oh, well, I don't want to ruin the ending. So I might have solved it, but I didn't. But what I said before is my love of curiosity, and the book is a lot about the ode to curiosity. And this may sound pat, but I truly believe it. There is something about just trying to solve the puzzle of our existence that is important and joyful and profound. And so even if we'll never do it, it's important to try. And it's all about the journey and the curiosity. So almost I almost think that solving puzzles is the solution. The solution is not the answer. The solution is the questions.
You were talking about the world. You're right. Sorry, you're absolutely right about that. It is the questions. It is the questions. And I mean, there isn't a human on this planet. In fact, I'm reading a book at the minute written by an Irish man who unfortunately has passed away. But it's called Journey's End. And it's the definitive description of what heaven is like. Right? Fascinating.
Okay, so he's got it all answered.
Huh? Yeah. he knows now whether he's right or wrong. So anyway, but the reader doesn't. So yes, questions. And I suppose
hope there are puzzles in heaven. Are there crossword puzzles, Sudoku?
I didn't get to that chapter, but I'm sure there are. There seems to be everything else there, but from what I can gather, but we'll get there. you talked about the whole community spirit, and you're right. Because if I'm sitting doing a crossword, and for a moment I stop and I put my pen in my mouth, and if I happen to be at home, my partner will say, she'll say, "Well, what is it? What is it? Can I help?" Now there's two of me doing the crossword. And so often happens when I go to my local pub for a pint. Mm. There's nothing nicer than having a crossword puzzle with a pint. And again, very often it happens. You put the pen in your mouth and you're thinking, and some fella asks you what the clue is, and you tell him, and then someone else down at the other end of the bar starts answering, and suddenly you've got 12 people involved in a crossword.
I love that. And yes, last night I did an event with Will Shortz, who is the New York Times crossword editor. So he's a celebrity in the puzzle world in the U.S. And I apologize for that.
It's all right.
That was a puzzle I shouldn't have. I failed to solve. But he was talking about Wordle, which is a huge trend. I don't know if it's reached Europe, but in the U.S., people love this game. And he said that he gets notes. He got a note from a gay man who was estranged from his family, but Wordle has brought them together. And it is funny to see on my Twitter feed, which is usually just vitriol and uninformed opinion, like the two sides can actually agree on how fun Wordle is and comparing their scores. And so, yeah, I do think, and there is research on this. I talked to a social scientist who said one of the only ways that he was able to bridge the gap between liberals and conservatives was having them do a joint crossword. So I do think it serves a great purpose.
I haven't started doing Wordle yet because I have enough going on in my life for that. I just thought if I have only 24 hours to solve it, I'm not going to be putting that kind of pressure.
Understood.
Yeah,
it is quick. It doesn't take it takes between 3 and 10 minutes usually.
Yeah.
But you have enough to do. Mm. I don't want to get in.
Is there a particular type of brain that is better at solving puzzles than the other? Intelligence, I presume, has nothing to do with it, other than maybe if you're doing crosswords and you know about books and you know about theater or film or something. So is there a particular type of brain?
I would say yes, but you can certainly learn. I think you can learn to be a good puzzler, but it's the same traits that I mentioned earlier, including being flexible in your thinking and not getting in a rut and saying, this is the right answer. You have to, I am a huge fan of pencils because
yes,
erasers are one of the greatest things ever. And so you have to think, this is probably the answer, this might be the answer, but until it's finished, never assume that this is etched in stone. So that to me is one of the big, and also being okay with trying and failing, which is also, I think, a great life skill. Because puzzles, you're not going to get it on the first, if it's a good puzzle, you're going to try and try and fail and fail. And hopefully get a little frustrated, but the good kind of frustrated, not the frustrated where you want to throw the Rubik's Cube across the room. And then you will get that aha moment at the end.
There is nothing to beat that aha moment. Tell me, before I let you go, clock is beating us and I could stay with you for a little while longer, but I can't. you spoke about the World Jigsaw Championship and you said that you and your wife had come second to last and Team US, but the Russians won it. Why are the Russians so good with, I mean, look at what's happening now with mind games or games that involve the mind.
Oh, right. That's interesting.
Why are they so good?
That's a great question. I guess, well, first of all, these women were from Siberia, and I had the same reaction that apparently they get all the time, which is there's not much else to do in Siberia. They practice. There's no secret to that. I will say, I am proud in the book, I talk about how much I hate Vladimir Putin. But I said that this jigsaw tournament was kind of like the Olympics in that it brought everyone together. And I saw people from other countries as humans, not as enemies. And so I still am appalled by what's going on. But having this human connection, it was like, I call it jigsaw diplomacy. And if we can get more human connection, maybe it'll help with the situations like what we're going through. So puzzles can save the world. Thesis.
Think about that and figure that out. The Puzzler, it's called One Man's Quest to Solve the Most Baffling Puzzles Ever, from crosswords to jigsaws to the meaning of life. If I don't leave you go now, there will be puzzles as to why I didn't get the commercial break in before the news. AJ Jacobs, it's been fabulous talking to you in New York today. Have yourself a great day. Continued success with the book. It's available for our listeners at tre.radio, our website. We have a bookstore there, so it's available, and we wish you well with it.
Thank you. That was so fun.
Enjoy talking to you. Thanks, AJ.